There's a provision accelerating charitable efforts that came from Senator Grassley. And he's not wrong. What happened during the pandemic is a lot of donor advised funds, DAFs, and private foundations, they have all this money. People were in need, and they didn't spend it. They only spent what they needed to spend or required to spend. They didn't spend anything more. They weren't overly charitable at a time when being overly charitable was pretty much expected. So he sat back and talked to Senator King, and they put up this act. There's also another act from the Democrats coming forward, so it's a bipartisan effort. And they're saying, we're going to limit this. We're going to tell you. Typically, when you give a donation to a private foundation, you get the donation that year, and then they get to make the payouts over several years. Well, they're going to say if they don't make all the payouts within 15 years, then you're not going to get that charitable deduction on the front end. I don't think it's necessarily wrong, but it is a regulation. It met with a lot of pushback, but at the same time, it's something out there, and I think it might have some legs. Whether it does or doesn't, what is it to you? Is it's an opportunity? You know, you clip that out of the outline, and you forward it to your development person, and say, did you know about this? This is really important because this gives you the base of being able to establish a relationship with your development folks if you don't already have one. And typically in the tax world, we're pretty good with UBIT. We're pretty good in establishing relationships even with our payroll folks because we tend to speak the same language. But a lot of times we don't when it comes to gifts. And they, again, can be some of your more important issues. And you could have some sort of, a lot of those can go into reportable transactions or things that are really, really reputation risk issues. So something to keep in mind is when you see things as you go through this outline, if you like it and it impacts someone you know, feel free to share it with them and send it over. That might help. And I think that's all I had to say on that. So now, Bert, I know you wanted to talk about this issue, so let me turn it over to you.
Okay. Yeah, this issue here is interesting in that it's either going to be one of the most significant developments over the past few decades, or it's going to be nothing. And I have no idea which of those it's going to be, but it's certainly worth talking about. It involves a series of nine letters that were sent by Representative Bill Pascrell, who was chair of the House Ways and Means Oversight Committee, to universities with major sports programs relating to the compensation that they paid to their head coaches. So the purpose of the letters is probably best described in Pascrell's statement as to why he sent these letters out. And this is what he said. This week on National Signing Day, thousands of young students agreed to play sports for free for university programs, paying literally tens of millions of dollars a year and giving free housing to their coaches. These exorbitant contracts to sports coaches from schools that receive federal tax-exempt status demand answers for the taxpayers that help fund these institutions. My letters today are beginning the work of seeking those answers, and our subcommittee will remain focused on this issue and on further possible abuses of the tax code by schools enjoying tax-exempt status, giving exorbitant contracts to athletic coaches. So you can kind of get the drift of where he's coming from on this issue. And the questions that he asked a lot of questions, but probably the most important ones were, he asked the schools to detail the amount, the number and scope of the over $1 million and over $5 million contracts that they provided to head coaches, including to what extent they paid the Section 4960 executive compensation excise tax on those payments. He wanted the schools to explain how these high salaries further the school's exempt purpose and whether it makes sense for the federal government to subsidize these salaries. Those are probably difficult questions to answer, but somebody's got to do it. He also asked for a lot of details regarding aid that's provided to student athletes in an attempt, it's pretty clear, to contrast what schools are providing to the athletes versus what they're paying to the coaches. He also wanted details regarding the income and expenses of athletic department. including whether they made net income, and if they did make net income, how much was used to support non-athletic university activities. He wanted information on the school's state-of-the-art athletic facilities, how much they cost, and also to what extent those facilities are available for use by the student body at large. So the question is, where is all of this going to lead, if anywhere? And I think we first have to remember that these questions are coming from Congress, not from the IRS. So this is not an enforcement body. This is a body that's looking for information in order to create new legislation or to amend current legislation.